This is Diana Nightingale, and today's message is the third in my series for Sunday morning. Over the next weeks, I'll be sharing with you short stories taken from my book, The Spiritual Flight of the Nightingale, in which I share my real life experiences about times when, in the midst of struggling with everyday situations that tax the soul, wear the mind, and drain us emotionally, physically, and spiritually, I had moments of real insight and the realization that God was present and showing me something very profound in those moments. I hope you will find something in my stories that will inspire you to find your gems along the bumpy road of your journey. And if you'd like to have the book or audiobook of The Spiritual Flight of the Nightingale, just go to www.dianannightingale.com. And now, Chapter 3, Worshiping from the Mud Flats. It was winter time, and as usual, I'd been working too late in my office, sitting for too long in front of my computer, and then doing too much around the house. My back had been hurting when I went to bed that night, and near morning, I woke up with severe pain. I got out of bed and went into the bathroom to look for something I might take to ease the pain. I don't take prescription drugs of any kind, and rely more on natural remedies for help. So I took a couple of aspirins and returned to bed. But by now, I was fully awake and cold. A cup of hot chocolate sounded good to me, so I went downstairs and made a big mugful, taking it into the living room. My sofa was situated against the windows that looked out onto the bay, and I sat propped up against one arm of the sofa, with cushions to my back, and pulled a cover I kept over the back of the sofa, up and around me. I gazed out at the bay, but it was still dark. I began to relax, and by now, my back was feeling better. I sipped my hot chocolate, and soon I noticed that the sky was beginning to get lighter. Dawn would follow soon. As it became lighter, I could see that the tide was out, leaving behind the mud flat where the water birds love so much to feed. As the sky grew lighter still, I noticed a great flock of birds, all of the same species. They came quickly from the left and flew in unison over the mud flat, making an entrance in a sweep of a circle, and then landed on the flat. They were soon followed by another flock of birds, doing exactly the same thing, all rushing, all circling, in exactly the same place, and then taking their places on the flat. Then another, and another flock. And I found myself thinking that they reminded me of the ending of a stage play when the actors rush out on the stage to take a bow. Soon, the flat was covered with birds of all sizes and colors. The gray heron, white heron, roseate spoonbills, the seagulls, sandpipers, and so many others. What was amazing to me was that after their impressive entrance, none were feeding. Instead, all were sitting quietly, facing east. How strange, I thought. Soon the horizon gave birth to a sliver of gold, then from a sliver to an oval, and then a round, glorious, red glowing sun, and a new day was born. All the while, the birds sat and watched reverently. Once the sun was fully above the horizon, each flock took turns, silently flying off in different directions to begin their day. Did this happen every day, I wondered? Do birds gather at dawn to worship and give thanks? As I sat there wondering, I remembered one of Earl's favorite quotes from Rabindranath Tagore. Faith is the bird that sings when the dawn is still dark. Though no sign of light was evident, those birds had faith that dawn would be arriving soon and knew from where it would appear. Years later, I live on the desert, and often when I sleep with my windows open, I'm awakened by the cry of the birds while it's still dark and still moments away from any evidence of dawn. They never doubt. They never fear. Many people believe that somewhere in the Bible there's a verse that states, "His eye is on the sparrow," but it's really a song written by Savilla Martin in 1905. I love the song because it tells me that our Father, who art in heaven, has created us all large and small, every living thing in the entire universe, and that we're all here under his care and keeping. These are the words that hymn writer Sevilla Martin wrote in 1905. Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Let not your heart be troubled, his tender words I hear, and resting on his goodness, I lose my doubts and fears. Though by path he leadeth, but one step I may see, his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Whenever I am tempted, whenever clouds arise, when songs give place to sighing, when hope within me dies, I draw the closer to him, from care he sets me free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I think this song is confused with the scripture in Matthew 6:24. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they?